We'll turn our attention now to our Vent Stay segment here on the Jefferson Exchange, your weekly chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, dogs in public places and students in rental housing. The numbers, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's set up our topics with dogs first.
Loud, you're not a crowd. Obey the signs and boundary lines. You're out of place. You bark and chase. You're not.
No dogs allowed from Snoopy Go Home. Which is just our way to start off the dog segment. So we're starting with the dog issue. That's the topic on our Facebook survey this week, and Emily Curitan is here to begin perusing the results with us. What got us started is a dust-up in Portland about dogs being banned from a floodplain in the city to protect an environmentally sensitive area. It generated a much larger discussion about the general issue of where we're allowed to bring our pets and under what conditions. Maybe you've gone to a favorite trail or beach, observed the signs that said dogs must be on leashes, and had an encounter with a dog running free. Or maybe you're a dog owner and you're totally okay with that. Let's hear from you. Should dogs be allowed on public lands? If so, which ones? Should they always be on leashes? If they're allowed to run leash-free, which areas? 800-838-3760 on the phone. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. Our other issue this Vents Day is about people and where they live. A student group from Southern Oregon University is pressing the city of Ashland to get landlords to accept students and rental properties. Now, the rent landlords could still decline to rent for reasons of income or credit history or a variety of other reasons, but simply saying no students would not be reason alone for denying housing. A complicating factor in Ashland is the very low vacancy rate, 2% or less, and corresponding high rents. What do you think? Should students be a protected class, not to be discriminated against? Maybe you've got a story to tell about getting rejected from rental housing because you were a student, or maybe you've rented to students and have some stories to tell. We'd love to hear your thoughts. This is Vents Day on the Exchange, where dogs are allowed and where students can rent. 800-838-3760. And jx@jeffnet.org. And here's Emily with results from the survey that we put out.
That's right. I've got the poop on the survey, Jeff.
Oh, boy. We're going to go with all the dog stuff here, aren't we? Dog duty, I noticed, is what
Doggy
you called
duty.
This.
Doggy duty, yeah. Got the poop, got the scoop. I'll try to mete out the puns here. And, of course, this is, as we discovered through our survey results, a very serious issue for a lot of folks. It's probably the best performing Jefferson Exchange survey we've put on our Facebook page in recent weeks. That said, a lot of issues came to the fore. I'm surprised that of the 37 responses we got, many of them seem to have come from disgruntled dog owners, people who have dogs and feel like maybe they follow the rules and other people don't. Then, of course, poop was definitely an issue, wildlife disruption. The way we pose the questions, though, hopefully we got some more nuance in our responses, and we'll share those after a break.
All right. So what we're talking about here is dogs in public, places where dogs should be allowed to roam free in public. Should they be on leash? Are there some places where they could be off leash? If you have had some experiences either as dog owner or as non-dog owner in public places, let's hear those experiences. We're also talking about students in rental housing. Should landlords be allowed to simply say no students? Should students be a protected class? Let's get your thoughts on this Vents Day. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're online at jeffexchange.org. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Jeff Exchange, and this is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent on a couple of topics in the news. We choose the topics. You provide the opinions. Dogs in public places, topic one. Topic two, students in rental housing. Should they be banned simply because they're students? Are there other ways that the issue could be approached? Your calls and emails make up the segment, along with survey results that Emily Curitan will be conveying. 800-838-3760 to join by phone and by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So really, of all the surveys and all the topics, this is the one that got the most response.
Right. I didn't even push it that hard. We came to the issue, you know, on some level, maybe it doesn't seem like one of the great salient points of our time that we should be debating. But even in our own newsroom, folks that I think of as like-minded were very polarized on this idea of when dogs are in public spaces with their owners, presumably, how how should that work and what should the rules be? And if people don't follow the rules, how should that be enforced? And coming at it with an immediately polarized lens, as tends to happen, I try to develop a survey that would navigate that. So we came up with one that asked people a bunch of gave them a bunch of statements and then asked them to agree or disagree with the statements. And I think it's interesting. The very first statement was public lands should never exclude dogs. So if it's public land, your dog can be there. Of our responses, 62% agreed with that. So 62% of people thought public lands should never exclude dogs. 38% disagreed. And so that's one way of expressing an extreme, right? So then we put it a different way. We said public lands should always exclude dogs. And overwhelmingly, people disagreed with that. So even survey respondents who had very strong feelings and negative experiences with dogs on public land said that they don't think that it's a wholesale always exclude things. And when we put the question more nuanced, that some public lands should exclude dogs, but not the majority, that's where we found that 50-50 split that I tend to encounter out in the world with people who are, you know, they say the world is two kinds of people. This might be one of those categories, people who don't want to put their dog on a leash, or people that do, people that don't think they should have to clean up dog poop, people that do, that kind of a thing. So the survey, you know, it was a little deep for a seemingly superficial topic on those first three questions, but some interesting results. And then, of course, people did leave their comments. Most people agreed that dogs should be on a leash in public. 70% of those who answered the survey said that. I mean, that. And we said should always be on a leash in public. So again, introducing that absolute to it. Others said leashes aren't necessary if the dog is under voice control. That was 32% of people who responded. And then this question is interesting. Dogs impede my enjoyment of parks or wildlands. Most people disagreed with this. They said 73% of them said, I disagreed. Dogs don't impede my enjoyment of parks or wildlands. So I think we did have a bias there of more dog owners answering the survey than not, where I really quite wasn't expecting this to happen was people who own dogs and are irritated with other people who own dogs. We had a couple of exchanges like that. For example, Susan in Reading wrote that she loves taking her border collies with her for walks and hikes and playing in the lake, etc. But these are working ranch dogs with great recall, and they completely ignore other dogs and wildlife. This isn't true with all dogs. Unfortunately, it only takes a few bad dogs with lousy owners and handlers to ruin it for everyone. This punishes all of us with well-behaved dogs, says Susan in Reading. And that was certainly a vein on the survey of, well, some dogs, but my dogs, you know, kind of raises a question of, well, maybe there's a way to train or certify certain kinds of animals to, I guess, be vouched for in public.
It's interesting to notice how your perspective can change depending on your own circumstances. And I can relate to this because the times we've been out for hikes when we did not have dogs and other people's dogs off leash came up and...
Yeah,
and you know, it's easy to just scratch them on the ears and go, hi, who's a good boy? Okay, take off. And the dog goes away. But then when we're out there walking our dog on a leash and somebody else's dog is off a leash and our dog freaks... for whatever reason, right now we have a fairly high-strung dog, but the point being that we can't vouch for the other person's, or we can't vouch for the safety of us or our dog when the other person's dog gets into it with our dog. So the perspective different whether you're with or without dog in these circumstances.
Very, very much so, and the idea of controlling your pet, to me, it's a deeply philosophical question. I can see how it's not to someone with a Chihuahua who has a German Shepherd bounding towards them. I've certainly been in the position to decide if I'm brave enough or not to be the alpha wall between my dog and another bigger, badder dog. On our survey, though, you know, this was echoed over and over. Here's a comment from Jay in Medford. He said, dogs are not the problem. Negligent owners are. I would support off-leash areas on public lands, but most areas should be on leash or no dogs, especially sensitive environmental areas. And managers should set up the expectation through consistent enforcement that leash laws should be followed.
We're talking about dogs here on the Jefferson Exchange today on our Vents Day segment. That's one of our topics, dogs in public places, appropriate places for them, not appropriate places for them, appropriate use of leashes or not. That's one of our topics. The other one is students in rental housing. Should landlords just be able to say no students blanketly without some other reasons to go in there? I'm not sure that's an adverb, blanketly, but we'll go for that. 800-838-3760 for your comments on this Vents Day segment by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. First call goes to Misha in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. In terms of the dogs in Eugene, since 1996, around the West University area, around the campus, there's like 9 or 10 blocks. The Jim Torrey was city councilor, that the people voted that the city council to say that there would be no dogs and skateboards allowed, but 18 out of 20 people that testified didn't want that to go forth. But to me, it's like completely illegal, because it's a catch-22, Jeff, because if the people have the dogs in the car and it's a hot day and something bad happens to the dog, I mean, it seems like people should have a right to be walking, to be with their dogs in a certain area, to say that, you know, it's not legal in that area when nothing bad had happened over there. I mean, it was like a little bit over the top, and other places people can, you know, have their dogs with them. To me, it's like completely ridiculous kind of thing, and not right for people to be treated that way.
So the place was a dog exclusion zone?
Yeah, it's a dog and skateboard, but it's like they're picking on, like, maybe people that are students or it's a certain part of town. It's a certain part of town, which is like, but nothing. I'd never seen anything like bad happen. You know, it's just, I don't know, like, there were 90% of the people that testified that didn't want that to mm-hmm. be happening, but it's been going on for several years.
Okay, thanks for that, Misha.
Appreciate interesting. It. Oh, sorry, Jeff. That's an interesting point, though, Misha raises, of people maybe who don't have somewhere else to put their dog, and this idea of being able to bring your dog with you as a right, that actually really irked some people that I had exchanges with on social media talking about this. Like, who are you to think that you have the right to bring your dog wherever you go, let alone take it off a leash?
And I'm sure there were other people who said, who you would have to think you have the right to tell me I can't bring my dog.
Uh-huh. It is a multivalent and wonderful spectrum of opinion out there, and that's what we wade through here on Vents Day. But interesting point, Misha. I hadn't really thought about if it was discriminatory towards people who can't leave their dog at home because maybe they don't have one.
All right. Mike in Medford wants to talk about the other issue, which is students and student housing and the ability of landlords to say no students. And he writes, as a low-income student who attended the University of Oregon, housing was far more expensive than college. With family unable to help and low credit, I had to find friends willing to put me up until student loans came through. Had my friends not been there, I couldn't have gone to college. What happened to dorms? How on earth do they not come with tuition? The university industrial complex is alive and well, scavenging on Americans wanting to better themselves. That from Mike in Medford. You know, dormitories were brought into the mix recently in the situation with student housing in the city of Ashland. There was a member of the community, not a student, who suggested opening up the older dormitories on the campus at Southern Oregon University. And the response from the university was those places are really expensive to manage. They're so old, for example, that the whole Cascade complex of dorms I was reading uses about 60% of the heating plant from the university system when those dorms are online. So that's a couple of different things to think about. Housing. Joe and Talent gets in on the same issue and writes, considering the revenue the city of Ashland gets from the influx of students each school year, I would think the city council would make affordable student housing one of our priorities. Seems we are more concerned about deer nibbling the flowers in the yards of the million-dollar home sprouting up near downtown than helping struggling students. This whole part of the valley is being exploited by landlords who are making it increasingly unaffordable for most of us. My own rent rose $250, I assume a month, in the last year, and my kids are facing the same thing. I guess we need to decide what we want for Ashland, a place that retains its charm and quirkiness and a rock-solid college here, or another town taken over by greed, but no one but the rich can afford to enjoy. That from Joe and Talent. So,
a lot of bitterness on that particular point. I've looked for housing myself in the last year in the Rogue Valley, and using Craigslist to do that. It could be a compendium at this point. All of the posts I've come across that are basically what you just read, where people are looking for housing on Craigslist and then they'll get frustrated and sort of, you know, post a supplication, something between a supplication and a screed, that, hey, this isn't how it used to be. Why in this kind of remote area do we not have enough quality, affordable housing to go around? With students in particular, we actually have this is a twofer survey week, Jeff.
All right.
The Associated Student, the Student Union of SOU.
Associated Students of Southern Oregon University, ASSOU.
You. Mm-hmm. Yes, the ASSOU shared with us some results from an anonymous survey that they put out. And I just picked one vein here that stuck out to me, which were responses that came from non-traditional students. These are people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who do have a rental history, are not having parents co-sign, or some of the things you might think would be associated with a reluctance to rent to students. And they said that just because they have that label of student, they've been unable to even apply for places. And so I've seen it happen routinely where you have an open house with 50 people show up and they'll take 50 applications. I'm assuming that means the students are just like cut off the top. This comment came from an anonymous SOU student. He says, I've been discouraged because I can afford to rent places, but they don't allow students to apply. I was intensely looking for housing that I could afford with a roommate. I ran into many houses that refused to accept an application from me because I'm a student. When I asked if they make exceptions to the exclusion for graduate students, they said no. I asked if it mattered that I'm an Air Force veteran with more than 5 years of combined rental history, and I've also owned my own home, am over the age of 30, and have a roommate. They still said no, they wouldn't consider us. As a result, I now live in Talent, which isn't far, but requires a commute that isn't exactly walkable.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yeah, and so, you know, as our last email said, you know, it kind of drives people out. And is that really is that a good thing?
That is the question for you, the audience, here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Students in rental housing, one of our topics, dogs in public places, our other topic. Let's get your thoughts. By phone, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to Vents Day.
Thanks. I have a safety tip for dog owners. Dog owners, if another dog is attacking your dog, do not grab the collar to separate them. The neck is where dogs bite each other. Step aside, go around to the side, grab the attacking dog by the hind legs, and with a violent and thorough motion, throw that dog away. Do not grab the collar. There you go.
All right, Grumpy John. I'm not sure if animal behavior experts would think that was the best approach. I might be reluctant to take it up myself, but thanks for that, Grumpy John.
Crisis management. You know, we were kind of getting more on the front end of this, of how do we regulate, certify, but when you're in the fray, you know, you see dogs, part of their charm is that animal intensity. So, you know, not bad to have a game plan, I guess. That theme of an aggressive dog running up to a not aggressive dog or a dog on a leash was certainly a theme on our survey. This one comes from Peggy in Brookings. Peggy wrote, people who let their dogs run loose on the beach, streets, or lands and say, oh, don't worry, he's friendly, are lacking any common courtesy. One of my dogs isn't friendly. And when your dog runs up to him and my leash dogs, he goes crazy. So now you've ruined my peaceful walk and I have to immediately pick up my dog and shield her from you. So that from Peggy in Brookings, clearly a rich vein of emotion there in what she deals with, having a dog who isn't friendly, and she follows the rules to try to avoid conflict, but doesn't help.
We pick up our dog a lot on walks because he's a lunger. He wants to meet people so badly and other dogs that he'll stay back, and then he'll lunge at them. So rather than have that happen and have both dogs get a little crazy, we just pick him up a lot. My wife found out with a previous dog, by the way, great, getting back to what Grumpy John said about separating dogs that are being attacked, don't use the plastic pooper scooper. They just break.
Okay.
We found that out the hard way.
More tips to be taken with a grain of salt.
Indeed. Jim in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, quick comment on both subjects. Number one, on dogs. I mentioned the other day I walk a big Lapadoodle. Problem is they take her to a dog park where they are allowed to run free and play with other dogs. When I'm walking her and then there's a lady walking a small child and a dog, she thinks it's playtime and goes, it's not, you know, her tail's wagging and she's like that, but here comes this 70-pound steamroller. Anyway, you get the point. There's got to be some kind of a mix where how do you, you know, dog psychology.
Right, and obedience.
Yeah, and on students, years and years ago I had the same problem. Blue Mountain College over in Pendleton, we rented a room, and then all of a sudden we found there were, you know, one or two other uninvited people in the room, and that caused some real problems.
Oh, so you had friends crashing and couch surfing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dave. No, wait. He's not there anymore. Okay. Alyssa in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a comment on the dogs. Actually, I really thought Grumpy John's comment was a very good one and pretty accurate. It's sometimes hard for people to grab a very large dog. But I do come from a country, you know, where you can take your dogs everywhere, and mm-hmm. you very rarely see, in England, you can take them on the train, you can take them into the pub. You very rarely see badly behaved dogs.
Why do you suppose that is? I mean, are dogs just better trained in England, or are they, we're talking different breeds that are popular
there? I think
there?
Maybe they are better trained. I think maybe that people are more relaxed about them being a part of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
But also, to here, I have a sheep ranch. I raise sheep, and I have five working border collies, and occasionally I'll go up the North Umpqua Trail and take them for a hike. And I can call them immediately and have them sit next to me if I see someone else on the path. And often people will pass me and say hi, and the dogs will stay sitting, and their dog might be on leash lunging towards my dogs. I do think it's hard for a lot of people to control big dogs. I just somehow think they haven't done the proper homework with them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for your thoughts, Alyssa.
But the other thought is that on that trail, there are mountain bikers, and it's, I think, kind of a bit more dangerous sometimes to have a mountain bike whizzing around the corner at you at 60 or whatever, 30 miles an hour, than it is to have a loose dog.
Okay, good point. Thanks for those, Alyssa. Appreciate it. The issue of training of dogs, how often did that come up in the survey?
Oh, it came up quite a bit, you know, and some people mentioned it here. Andrew and Ashlyn put it perhaps most succinctly. He said, in most cases, the owner is the problem, not the dog. And when you talk about training, I think that is, in my experience with animals, they're mostly trainable. I guess that's, there's some judgment in there. But other places, other states, I know, have voice control laws. For example, in Boulder, Colorado, you have a way to get your dog certified as voice controlled, and it's a special kind of tag that goes on the dog's collar that shows you are able to call it off. And there's enforcement for that. So it's another way to go about things than leashes for all or banning dogs. You know, yeah, Ryan and Talent echoed that idea that poor behaving dogs, he writes, are often a reflection of poor training or discipline from poor behaving owners. I'm a little skeptical sometimes because it's sort of like when you see a kid having a tantrum and you're like, wow, you must have a bad parent kind of a thing. But perhaps there's certainly something to explore there.
We're talking about dogs in public places and students in rental housing here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Here's Megan and Ashland. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
When it comes to student housing and Ashland, students being able to find housing in Ashland, like you said, there is a severe lack of units already, and the units that are available are expensive. So putting this restriction for students is sort of like a third barrier for us on top of having to keep track of our studies and find time for a job so we can pay for where we live. Somebody brought up the point that they had students living in a unit of theirs, and more students ended up sleeping on the couch, and I think that maybe some of that comes from the fact that students are having such a hard time finding housing. And I think that landlords, if you are going to rent to students, you really need to better communicate with them when they first move in, your expectations of them as a tenant. I think both the tenant's rights and responsibilities need to be enumerated, as well as the rights and responsibilities of the homeowner.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Megan. Appreciate that. Let's take another call from Dave in Ashland, also on the same subject, housing. Welcome.
Yeah, well, I'm coming at this from another angle. We have so few property management companies, and I think commercial property management is buying like one of the other primary ones in Ashland. And so basically every tool that they have to reject someone that's not rental history is just really detrimental to the ability to find housing in the area at all. We definitely have a housing crisis all over the state of Oregon, just extremely low vacancy rates everywhere. And, you know, while, and we definitely need to be knocking down as many barriers for folks to find housing as possible. When you think about how much of the city students comprise, about 6,000, and I think about 30,000, it's a little ridiculous to have these discriminatory practices rolling around when they are so much of the life of the city. And when SOU talks about needing to expand, we flat don't have the capacity to expand out in the community without more cooperation from the city. And when your landlords are saying we won't rent to students, that's a big indication that they're not actually friendly to the idea of SOU expanding.
All right. Thank you for that, Dave. Appreciate it. We pretty much run to the end of the time we have here on Vents Day. And I apologize to Peter and Bill in Ashland wanting to talk about dogs, but I'm really impressed by the number of people who responded to this.
Yeah. Time for a final thought, Jeff. Let's give it to Bridget in Ashland. She says, dogs should be on a leash. Not everyone likes them. That being said, people bother me more in public parks and wildlands.
All right. We'll go out with a Bob Dylan dog-appropriate song as we finish up this Vents Day. Thanks for listening to the Jefferson Exchange.
My ears hear a symphony, two mules, trains, and rain. The best is always yet to come. That's what they explain to me. Just do your thing, you'll be king if dogs run free.